Good afternoon and welcome to our meeting. This now was 30 on May 9th, 2023. And time to reconvene our regular meeting of the Snohomish County Community Board of Commissioners. I'm Rebecca Wolf, President of the Commission. With us today, we have Commissioner Sid Logan, Vice President, Commissioner Tony Olson, Secretary, Scott Jones, Chief Financial Officer, Colin Willenrock, General Counsel, Melissa Collins, Commission and Executive Services Director, Allison Morris, the Clerk of the Board, and Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please turn off or mute your cell phones or other electronic devices. Copies of the agenda are located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. Are there any items to be added or changes to be made to the published agenda?
Yes, Commissioner. We're adding item 5A.2, that places Exhibit A, extending the district's rate schedule, supplemental time of days service schedule.
Comments from the public is item 3 on the agenda. And that is from the board, will hear comments on four items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. In person should be recognized to speak from the sign-up cards located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. If joining by Zoom, click raise hand or dial *9 on your phone. Attendees will be called on to speak at the appropriate time. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use the microphone, state and spell your name and indicate where you are from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioners, not the audience. If you have documents or other materials to enter into the record, hand them to the Deputy Clerk, who will distribute them to the board. We appreciate your cooperation with our procedures. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This assures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. Would you please join me now for the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a special recognition today, which is probably why we have a rather full audience. Our employee for the month of May is Michael Coe, and Shelley Patterson will introduce and make some comments about Michael Coe. Thank you, welcome, Shelley.
Hi, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm Shelley Patterson, Senior Manager at Strategic Policy and Partnerships. Today, I have the pleasure, you don't get to read it. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing PUD's Employee of the Month. This person could be referred to as the magic behind the scenes or an unsung hero for his quiet and humble approach to incredibly important work, like ensuring regulatory compliance and fiscal reimbursement, or translating the BPA implementation manual and deciphering SAP processes. This person is an educator, an innovator, and friend, and an unsung hero no more. Commissioners, staff, friends, and family, please help me congratulate Michael Coe, Principal Utility Analyst, on being the district's May Employee of the Month. Michael is the, I know, I always wonder if that's going to disrupt the flow, but I think we're okay here. So I have more words to say.
Well, you got to clap.
Yes. Michael is no stranger to you or any of us. At one time or another, we've all had the opportunity to learn from Michael, whether during budget development, Energy Independence Act compliance reviews, or conservation potential assessment development process. Michael wears a lot of hats, and his contributions are priceless. Wearing multiple hats comes with multiple opportunities. Opportunities to work with a variety of departments and the pleasure of supporting, or perhaps supervising, better describes it, 2 senior managers. Both Jeff Feinberg and I are lucky to work very closely with Michael, So I've invited Jeff to also say a few words. But first, I'd really like to share a little bit about the Michael Coe that we don't always get to see. The Michael Coe that is husband to Jill and the very proud father to three grown boys, Josh, Cameron, and Gabe. And of course, we can't forget the pup, Clover. Michael is a huge soccer fan and can often be seen in his Sounders jersey or displaying his allegiance in the background of his team's calls. I've also been told he's a huge Arsenal's fan. Isn't that right, Michael? Now that Michael and Jill have successfully raised their boys and are no longer spending their weekends on multiple soccer fields, they, alongside pup Clover, are enjoying their time as empty nesters. In the last few years, they've been hitting the road for hiking destinations all over the Western US and have plans to visit Portuguese this fall, where Michael is looking forward to speaking the Portuguese language that he's been studying in preparation for the trip. Michael enjoys cooking and entertaining and has shared his talent with the Energy Services Department for team gatherings and summer barbecues. I once complimented the chef and was quickly corrected with Jelly cook, not chef. Just one more example of Michael's humility and selflessness. So with that, parabéns, Miguel. Obrigado por tudo que você faz. And for those of you that don't speak Portuguese, it's congratulations, Michael. Thank you for all that you do.
Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you. No, you stay on there. I'm Jeff Feinberg, Senior Manager of Energy Services, and like Shelley said, poor Michael has to work with two senior managers all the time and constantly be bugged, and so I just wanted to share a few more reasons why it's so exciting to get to, just talk about Michael and everything he does for us. And I know that kind of what we shared with the BPA work and all of that, that can sound really, really dry, but Michael has an amazing capacity to make it approachable, understandable, and really to help our entire team get their minds around the impacts of all the decisions that we may make for our portfolio and for programs. I can think of so many people in our room, in this room right now from our department. Whenever we're thinking about something we want to do, even at the measure level for a program, a lot of times Michael gets invited to those meetings and he doesn't get to not participate, but rather he's really our sounding board for what we want to do with our programs on behalf of our customers. And Michael's really such a big resource. The other thing, when I came to the department 3 years ago, I knew very little about the actual content of our work. I knew leading people and I knew the utility that I understood in customer service, but Michael patiently sat with me, I can't tell you how many times, and answered all my boring and dumb questions about how things worked and why this mattered and conservation and energy efficiency. And it takes a real kind of humility to teach your leader, but Michael did that time and time again for me, and that was really invaluable for me and my development. And I think the last thing I would say is he just always brings the customer in the room. And whether we're talking to BPA, whether we're talking to our own team, Michael is always great about trying to understand how does this actually matter for the end-use customer? How does this matter in the customer's home? How does this matter in the business? And so for that, we're all in Michael's debt for the way that he leads us as the utility. And so, Michael, congratulations. Excited for you and excited that everybody gets to stare at your face all month long.
Yes.
So now we can congratulate.
You're a mentor before the mentorship program started. That's great. I'm looking for a Michael Coe within you.
That's right.
This is for you.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
Conservation and everything. Well, if I start, I'm not going to stop.
Well, congratulations, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for what.
I mean, his resume is
for what you do
outstanding.
And figuring out how programs can help our customers. Yeah. And it's critical work.
Yeah.
And training managers, critical. There's nothing worse than a manager doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's it. But what I saw in your write-up, I'm wrong, but you are the one that administrates the interface between Snohomish and the Bonneville Power Administration and their conservation program. Is
yes,
that correct?
Yes.
That's you. I'm not going to go on about this because this is one of my favorite topics, but I know it's extremely hard in terms of that interface. And, you know, our rates, our customers' rates, in the Bonneville rate to us, embedded in that is money to spend on conservation. And for all our customers. And then we have a very robust conservation program. So your job is to cajole, fight,
sometimes
convince, or Bonneville to give us some credit. I guess we get reimbursed.
Yes, we get money back.
Yeah, we get money back. And I was astounded, 10 years, 70 million and about 7 million every year.
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Well, we're lucky we have to.
7 million a year, that's not peanuts.
Well, it's our money to begin with.
Yes.
How do you feel about it?
Well, I'm being on my good behavior. Okay. You have everything? Did he get his picture?
Not yet. So we have a great picture of him in here. Oh, wow. Out hiking. I see some wildflowers.
Oh, wow. So
you're going to Portugal?
Yes, Portugal in September.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Hard language.
Very hard.
You selected.
It's a very challenging language.
It is very challenging.
Even if you know Spanish and French, it's still hard.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Have fun.
Thank you.
We're going to move on to comments from the public. Are there any comments from the public on the items not on the agenda? Please state your first and last name for the record. And so long to all those friends of Michael Coe. We're glad you were here.
There's nobody online who'd like to speak.
So now we will proceed to the consent agenda. A is approval of the minutes for the regular meetings of April 18th and the special meeting of April 22nd, 2023, which was our energy block group. B is bid awards, professional services contracts, and amendments. C is consideration of certification, ratification, and approval of district. D, consideration of a resolution approving the
Michelle, can you read B again in full, please?
B is not. C is incomplete. It's incomplete on my sheet. C is incomplete. B says bid awards, professional services, contracts, and amendments. But C has something missing. Consideration of
certain vouchers.
District vouchers.
Checks and vouchers.
Checks and vouchers. It's recorded.
It's okay. All right. Consideration of certification, ratification, and approval of district checks and vouchers. Okay. Thank you. D is consideration of a resolution approving the retirement health savings plan for the chief executive officer, general manager of Public Utility District Number 1 of Snohomish County. I'll call for a motion.
Approval.
Are there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda?
There are none.
Okay. Any questions or comments from the commissioners?
Can I have just a second?
Sure.
I have one question, Michelle. This on this Treasury Labor Resources Professional Services Contract, curious if that's for a specific project. I just don't remember seeing an item like this before.
Yeah, I can answer that. So, and Lauren and Angela and others are here if they want to add. So we had a resource, an employee resource a while back when I first got here, and they left the district, and that position has been open for a while. We've had some movement in the treasury side with people. Mm-hmm. And so we've kind of reorganized the roles and responsibilities there. We're looking at opening that position back up, but we want to have a contract resource first, kind of test drive some of the process and procedure stuff that we've got. It sort of is a means of us validating that we actually need the long-term resource and kind of structure of the group.
Great, thank you. Is that...
I look to the people that actually know the answer.
Yes, yes.
Any other questions? Who has questions? Okay.
So I'll call for a vote. All in favor, please say aye. All opposed, please say no.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion is approved. Move now to public hearing in action. We're going to consider a resolution extending the district's rate schedule called Supplemental Time of Day Service Schedule as amended. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
I'll now convene a public hearing. Peter Dauenhauer. Dauenhauer. Hi, Peter. He's available to answer any questions. Are there any comments from the public regarding the resolution? Any questions or comments from the commissioners?
I have none. We've agreed on this.
Yeah, we are thoroughly briefed when we have the bad places for this.
Therefore, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Sure. Please nay. Sorry, you need to close the public hearing first.
I beg your pardon. Okay, after no questions or comments from the commissioners, I'll now thank you. Close the public hearing and call for the vote. So, aye if you approve, nay if you don't.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The resolution is approved. Now we'll move on to commission business, commission reports. Any reports from you, commissioners? We had PPC meetings, another PDAC meeting. I attended the new employees orientation meeting, which was wonderful. It's always a wonderful experience to meet new employees. And I think that's all I have to report on meetings. Okay. Do you have any questions?
No.
Okay. Move on to commissioner event calendar. And are there any changes, or I have one thing I want to offer, but are there any changes to the commissioner event calendar? I would like to propose a visit, a special meeting, I suppose.
Commissioner, we're on the events calendar. It's our schedule for the meetings we attend outside the organization.
Well, yeah, I asked if there were any changes.
I said I wanted to look. I thought you were on to the next part.
No, I'll stop.
Okay.
I'll be quiet.
No, I'm sorry. I think mine looks correct. Thank you.
Do you have anything to add to the commissioner event calendar?
No.
Okay. So I would like to propose a visit. I would like to know if you're interested, the two of you. I'd like to propose a visit to the Jackson facility, call that them. I'm going into my fifth year, and I've never yet been. So I really feel, we had COVID, which hit us, you know, in 2021. And so we were not able to do these kinds of things. So I would like to know, I would like to go, and I wonder how you would feel about it.
I think it's important for you to go. I have been there multiple times, so I don't think it would be productive for me to go, but you certainly should.
I'm confused. Are we on the governance planning calendar now?
That would be the planning calendar.
Well,
I'm open to it if it says.
You would like to go along? Okay. So
I think we're actually still on the event calendar. Commissioner Logan, she's just asking to go under the event calendar because we still have the trigger budget for next week.
Okay.
So we're gonna, I think we have a majority of the board that would like to do the visit.
So if Commissioner Logan wants to go and I want to go, then we would leave it up to our director of the commission to arrange it, whenever we can do it. Before we get heavy snow.
Before December.
Before December, please. That would be great. Now we're going to move on to a very important area of our, very important part of our meeting. And we have Scott Jones here to help us through it. This is about the 2023 Treasury budget forecast and major status report from through March through the first quarter results. So, Mr. Jones, it is, you have the floor.
Thank you.
It's the pleasure of giving us the news.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thanks, Commissioner Wolf. So a couple of things. I want to take a few minutes here. First of all, the format of the report that you have has changed. And I want to give an appreciative thank you to Sarah and to Andrea in our budget group for kind of constantly thinking about, you know, what we put in that report and what kind of information might resonate with you. We did change the report format just a little bit. And we also added a page in for the Treasury side. So Angela and Alexis and Lauren are here. I've had a hand in that, putting together kind of a one pager that gives you a snapshot of what the reserve positions are. So please look at that. We're always open for suggestions and changes, and it's a dynamic document. So if you see information you like or don't like or whatever, we'll always try to accommodate that. On to the more important topic, which is we had a rough first quarter. And that's a light version of saying it. Jason was kind enough to give us a preview at the last meeting. I think it was the last meeting, right, Jason? Just from an operational standpoint, we had a very, very low hydro generation quarter. And in fact, really, it's late December through really even April. If you just focus on that, and then they went back and Jason and his folks did a really good job of taking another look at the rest of the year's forecast on both market purchases and market sales. And when you sort of put all that together, we kind of landed on a $45 million or so number. Is what we think the rough impact is for the 23 year, so not just for the quarter, but for the year. I'll caution you that the projections in the report you have in front of you, don't rely on those just yet. They're sort of in process right now. We've got a few pieces of information in there, but we'll probably have a better look on projections for you in the next month or so. So don't rely too heavily on that. $45 million is about the number we've been targeting. We got the executive leadership team together in April and had a pretty deep heart-to-heart about where we are and what's going on and what happened, and kind of sent everybody out with a homework assignment for the divisions and departments to kind of look and come up with some creative solutions. I want to make a couple of important points. These are very, very challenging things to do. Every company has to do this sometimes. We have had a couple, two or three pretty good years where we haven't had to do this, but our time has come and we're gonna have to buckle down and focus on this. We're doing that with an eye on not impacting safety, not impacting reliability, not impacting the customer experience. We don't want to do anything to damage the way we do business, the core business. And so as we're making some tough choices, we have no intentions of impacting the way we're dealing with the community and our ability to provide reliable power. In a lot of cases, it's a debate about deferring projects, not really getting rid of projects, but deferring projects. We have seen some opportunities so far, and I won't get into all the weeds, but April revenue was a little bit better, and so we got a reprieve in April. That's not reflected in your numbers, but we know from closing the books for April that April gave us a bit of an uptick for a few million dollars. The Treasury side of the house, with thinking we can get a little bit more out of the market, the investment market, so we think we can get a few million dollars there, which is going to help a lot. We'll have those things kind of layered into the projections. Some of that's actually already there. A lot of what's left is each department really just trying to do their part to tighten their belt a little bit. And it's a tough time to do that. We've got a lot of labor pressures. We've got a lot of inflationary pressures. We've got supply chain pressures. And frankly, we're probably going to have some hydro generation supply pressures for the balance of the year. I mean, we're hoping that we can work through that. You know, if you think back to the end of December, the problem is actually a little bit bigger than that, because in late December, we actually were into the market for about $25 million or so as well. So we approved the budget in the beginning of December, and then we had a really, really rough market in late December, January, February, March. You may recall, and I think it was late February, early March, I think it might have been early March, I came here and said very briefly that we had had, I think, three of the largest cash outflow months that the district has ever had. And I believe December, January, and February were that. And so it is an issue that we're going to have to wrestle with. I want to leave you with two important messages. One is, we've got a really great team of leaders, both at the executive leadership team level, managers and senior managers and department heads, who are working very hard to address this issue and making some really tough choices. And they're all leaning into it. They're working really hard right now to try to come up with a plan. We're going to meet as an executive team in a couple of weeks and kind of work through what we think that final mitigation plan is going to look like. So we'll have a good plan for the rest of the year. Our focus is making sure that we sustain some good operating reserve levels. That's really kind of the target number that we focus on. Sure, net income is not going to look like we want it to, and a variety of other things, but we've got to make sure we protect that operating reserve number. That's kind of everything kind of flows into that. So we're working hard. I want to give a lot of compliments to a lot of people. We've got really a lot of people in the district that have kind of mobilized really quickly to respond to this, and so I'm very appreciative of that. The other thing I want to just tease, and then we'll talk more in the coming months, is this is going to impact the 24 budget. There's really no way that we can have a 70-ish million dollar outflow between the end of December and the first quarter, and then through 23, about $70 million. That's a lot of money. And so there's really no way that that's not going to impact the 24 budget. So we're going to be coming to you with a lot of information in the coming months. And we'll be working very hard on those three pillars I talk about all the time, a rate strategy and a cost mitigation strategy and a debt strategy. And the combination of those things put together, hopefully we can piece together a math equation for 24 that works. But we're certainly going to be looking at some pressure points in the 24. It could have come at a better time, but it came at a pretty rough time between supply chain and inflation and some other things. So we're working very hard to get through it, and you'll hear more from us in the coming months, but that's kind of the situation we're in. It's garnered a lot of attention from a lot of folks in the room in the last couple of weeks, and I'm very complimentary of those folks who are working hard. We think we're going to have a problem, but we have a challenging early part of this year.
Observation, there's no way you're going to make up that kind of money just going into the departments. It isn't there, and I know you know that.
Yeah,
because the big ticket items are on the construction side of the house. And
yeah, so we, you know, if you combine, thankfully, a good April revenue number, yeah, which helps, some investment income, which helps, there's no discussion whatsoever on the labor front about layoffs or any of those kinds of things.
Oh, no, I wasn't getting it.
And I need to say that out loud too. That's something, that's a message we want to make sure that we say and resonates. But we have natural float in labor. We have people that are retiring and whatever. And so we're kind of really trying to be diligent about the, you you know, how we manage labor. A lot of it is O&M and a lot of it is capital and a lot of it is just little nuances into contracts. But I would say every department so far has reported back with some degree of either savings or deferrals or something that's really helping us. You're right. The biggest ticket items are going to be in large capital projects that we might stage out differently.
Because you can.
Yeah. And so Guy and his team in particular are looking hard at those, trying to make sure that we're not doing anything that damages that reliability path. But no doubt, a lot of that 45, not all, but a lot of that 45 is going to be deferrals. And it's going to be something that we're just going to have to take back up at a later date.
And in considering shifting, 2024 is going to look a lot different than projection was. Is rate consideration in terms of raising rates?
Well, I I'd be lying.
I'm not asking for it.
No, listen, I'd be lying if I said no. Yeah. I can't sit here with a straight face and tell you that we can't have that on the table. It's going to have to be a part of the discussion. We're going to do everything we can to contain costs and to try to map out the cost path. We did not have in the original forecast for those out years a borrowing. We may reinsert a borrowing depending on where interest rates are. And so that's another tool that we can use if we feel like we can access that. But listen, I'd be lying if I said rates are not in the picture. And the forecast had a small rate increase. We had 4 years with none. I think that's right, Sarah. We had 4 years with no rate increase and two. Yeah, 4 years with none. And then 2 years with a pretty small one, like over 2%. So I think if you look out over the last 6 years, I think we've done everything we can to protect the community and the customer base from large rate increases. If you look at a lot of our peers are not in that same place.
Double digits.
Right, yeah. And so I'm thrilled that we have that track record for the last 6 years. But again, you know, we have a large dollar number here to overcome and we're gonna have to come up with some creative solutions. We'll do everything we can to make sure we don't put that on the backs of the ratepayers.
We've got a small team, but we've got a tough road to hoe.
We do.
Yeah, I know we're in great hands. And I just have a question. I don't think I remember the utility ever doing this. Maybe we can, in terms of the commission amending the budget. Is that anything that I don't recall that we've ever done that?
So it's an interesting, and Colin, I'm going to put Colin on the spot since he's only been here about 60 days. He can opine on the governance structure here. We have typically not, Sarah knows the history better than I have. We have, I think, gosh, I only know of maybe one time that I've heard of that we've done that.
Maybe 26 times.
Yeah, and so it's
2016 was the last time.
But was in 2016 was a rate increase a part of that, or was it just a cost change? I think it was just a cost change. So we can, from a governance standpoint, there's a philosophical debate about what you're approving when you approve a budget, right? Because fundamentally, you're approving a broad capital plan, a broad expense plan, and a rate scheme. And so I don't see the need to change the budget unless we decided to change rates. And that's not a direction we're trying to go right now. So for now, I don't think it's necessary from a sort of financial management standpoint. If we get to that point, and Colin can talk about maybe what the governance piece of that is, we could explore that. We're not quite.
Well, I'm not asking you to. It's just I didn't know that we'd ever done it.
It's common in school district, but it's usually to increase expenditure.
That's what I was going to say. The short answer is you can. Yeah. Usually you're going the other direction.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And sorry, one of my favorite topics. I'm speaking as one commissioner, but I might. Are there plans maybe as you're working through this to make a presentation to the board on progress so that we don't see the 2024 budget and have the shock.
Well, you're going to be shocked by the 24 budget, no matter how much we keep it out.
Well, I just, maybe that won't help any.
I heard Sarah laughing in the background, so how does it? So we're going to give you probably three pieces of information along the way.
Okay.
You're going to see versions of this document that you got in your package, which we'll constantly update. Once we get a plan, I'll have that layered in for projections. You'll get to monitor it through this very report. We'll commit to you that when we need to, we're going to come in front of you like we're doing today and give you some additional editorial background on how we're doing. So just to make sure that we're very transparent. And then certainly we'll have a lot of communication in the 24 budget. And I, sarcasm aside, I think this will be a year that we will need to be communicating a lot with you in the 24 budget. And, you know, we've got a rhythm of approving these budgets, and we'll have some presentations that we do. We'll have to bring some of these pieces front and center, especially if we start talking about rhythms.
And it has to be figured out by October.
Yeah, I mean,
not to put any more pressure on you.
Yeah, it really happens. A lot of it happens even before then. I mean,
oh,
we've
I'm
got
sure.
yeah,
to be ready. We're working on it now.
yeah, we kind of are.
Well, one thing that strikes me is that so the water supply in the rivers is most of the rivers is down, the major rivers that we count on. And what is the likelihood that that's going to improve the water levels? I mean, I know it fluctuates. We've got our water department man here. He probably knows more about this than most of us. But I think it's exciting that we're going to start, I hope, we're going to start working with Markets Plus and trying to not depend totally on hydropower, although I see that we're about to celebrate hydropower in a very big, splashy way. I can't just say that. But, I think it's not realistic to count on that for the long, long term.
Well, so there's at least a couple of people in the room that will have opinions on this, which they should jump in. A couple of points from my perspective. The counter argument to that might be this does demonstrate the value of having that hydro when it's available. And so when we do have this hydro generation available to us, it is an exceptionally valuable asset.
Oh, sure.
And so I do think that the volatility of the weather and the volatility of the markets and market prices is not going away. It's going to continue. Jason and his folks are looking at storage projects, and they're looking at negotiations with BPA and a wide variety of other hedging programs too. So we've got a lot of arrows in our quiver that we're trying to use. Jason, you should probably speak more intelligently on this.
I think you're doing a great job, Scott. Scott's right. You're right, Commissioner. There's a lot of risk with depending on the hydro, and it's subject to the weather and where that snow falls, and when we get cold spells and hot spells and things like that. It has been a very difficult water year. I mean, if you look at March, April, even now here in May, we've just had very low production from Slice, or from the river and our portion of that gets allocated to Snohomish. We expect that to happen 2 years in a row, kind of we're looking at probabilities, probably not. But I think, we should always be prepared for that. We are going into El Nino, and typically things aren't as good for water supply in El Nino, but definitely tracking all of those things. And one thing I'll just mention, I think we talked about this a little bit in the previous commission meeting. We are doing some continuous improvement work on our energy risk management strategy, mm-hmm. and basically looking at, are we holding on to the right amount of lakes? That's one way that we can mitigate these sorts of things, as well as, looking at all the other options out there, energy storage, as we move on
post-2028, we'll be looking at all the options there. Markets, you know, that really enables a kind of a efficient optimization of resources across a larger footprint.
Well, of all the major resources, I think we can count on the sun for about the next 14 billion years. If we can work with these other entities that can provide us with solar power and wind, and, but I know that they're not constant.
Yeah, and a link to the Southwest would be very beneficial in that regard.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things to keep in mind, the challenge with forecasting, and for folks that aren't deep into our business, the challenge with forecasting in an area like this, in an organization like this, in order to get this right, because you've got to get the load prediction right, you've got to get the resource prediction right, you've got to get even the market pricing prediction right. And so the load prediction is obviously highly volatile on a lot of factors, the weather being a big one. And so every little bit that you're off on heating and cooling days assumptions is going to change that. But imagine trying to predict the generation that you're going to get with rainfall versus snowfall versus when the snow melts, versus how that water is going to be used for a variety of other competing reasons, not just electric generation, and doing that over a long period of time. And we've done an awfully good job of that with small differences that have helped us a lot. We're in a period right now where the differences are bigger, and it's an unusual anomaly for us, just the way this is playing out. But predicting this stuff is impossible to perfect. We've got some really smart folks with a lot of modeling that are doing a lot of work on this to try to perfect it, but it is just impossible to do. And this is one of those times where, in spite of the best efforts that we had going into this budget year, it's just impossible to predict that a little bit of extra cold is going to hold the snowpack in. It's not going to melt. It's going to melt later. It's going to create an environment where the hydro generation is going to be timed differently than we actually needed. There's a lot of factors there that are very difficult to get right. And so it's not anybody's fault that we're here. It's just so many variables that go into this. But it is unfortunately something that we've still got to respond to. And so it's happened to us.
Commissioner, are we going to go through the rest of these exhibits?
I don't have anything. I've said what I need to say. We're happy to field questions.
So I have some questions about slide 4. So looking at it, I mean, it actually looks like our projection for wholesale power sales is actually up 11 million. So I imagine that's because even though the water you're not as good, the price is much better. Mm-hmm. So it looks like the real challenge is purchasing power. It's not the revenue side per se. It doesn't look like it's the. And I imagine that purchase power, a lot of that probably happened in that.
I'm going to harken back to my caution earlier that the projection column is probably not exactly where we want it to be. That number we think is probably a little lower, but it's still up from the budget.
Yeah.
It's definitely still up. And I don't think that's changed. Without talking numbers, I think budget was about 60. We were thinking last month it might be 67 or 68. We've got a number a little bit higher in here, but that might actually be a little too high. But no doubt, Commissioner Logan, that we think market sales is one of the helpful factors.
Yeah. My other question is, so in this we have year-to-date actual through March. So when you're talking about looking for ways to save money, I see our CapEx is down. Are many of those changes in this projection, or are those yet to come, the things you were talking about?
Most of them are yet to come. We've updated, we inflated an update on the market sales. We need to pull it back a little bit. The interest income number in this projection number has been raised a little bit. We think that's closer to what it's going to be. Capital is typically behind early in the year. We kind of wait on the good weather to get a lot of that work done, so that's not uncommon. But again, Guy and Jason and others, the capital piece is something that they're, you know, focusing a lot on.
Way under what?
I think CapEx is down every year.
It is. It's early in the year.
I think we always estimate more for the year than we spend.
We are getting better and closer, and I will say that my boss has cracked the whip a lot on that in the last couple of years. He's on us a lot about trying to perfect that capital projection. So we've gotten closer. Last year, some of it was delays in AMI that caused that number to be a little bit off. And one other quick thing, AMI and North County are two of our bigger debt funded projects. Those projects are not, we're not doing anything to delay those. Those are not on the consideration list because they're bond funded, we need to go ahead and spend those bond funds. We borrow that money and we need to spend it. So when we're talking about how to frame out a capital plan, those two projects in particular are not on the phone, not potentially.
I think on a more global scale, a lot of things need to be improved for conservation. For example, one of the big uses of water is agriculture, and they don't conserve. They can just take it right out of the rivers, no limit in most places in the state. I know you probably know water law, and Washington doesn't do a very good job of conserving water. And it's one of the biggest, I know, consumers of water. So the water that's available needs to be allocated better. That's easy. We have it for power. Farmers have it for agriculture. And the rivers, you know, they have the barging and they have all of these other uses, as you mentioned. But there are many demands on water other than just hydrogen.
Yeah, I won't get into the politics of Washington's water plans other than to say that I work for a utility company and we would like to use the water for power generation.
Of course.
Right. Right, exactly.
Always have a global, you know.
But yes, there's a lot of competing priorities there for sure. You're absolutely right.
And there's a lot of room for improvement on the conservation side.
Other questions, concerns? I will have, I think we will have better projections, I hope, for you in about a month that I hope will be more impactful for you to look at. So hang tight on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, the report is very helpful, and the comments are very helpful to understand what's going on in the organization. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and Sarah and Andrea, who are sitting back there, lead this report, and I really appreciate their work. They get a lot of information from all of our departments in order to put this together. So this report, like lots of things we do, has a lot of hands in it.
And it's done in a way, in terms of the board consumption and our fiduciary responsibility to those that we serve really well laid out.
Thank you.
Anything more that you would like to comment on or ask questions about?
I have no more questions.
There are. If there's no further business to come before the board, here it's not very done.
Oh,
nope.
I think we have one.
We've got a couple more things.
Wait a minute. Okay. Oh. Yes, we're back. Okay, take me back.
I have 60.
Six.
The
oh,
E.
We have six of these.
E. D is a D.
E.
After
D and E, and I can't differentiate.
D, draft, board retreat, and end of discussion.
Oh, okay. All right. So, just one second. I just wanted to look again. If you give me a second, I want to go to the. I just had a suggestion about the purpose that was written for us. Okay, I found it. I had two suggestions. It reads, the electric power industry is experiencing one of the most significant evolutions in its history. Public power governing boards must evolve along with it. To that end, Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners has committed to periodically reviewing the comprehensive set of governance policies that direct how they fulfill their fiduciary duty. Okay, I'm going to stop there. To that end, it's actually required by our board policies that we review our policies periodically, and we haven't done that since 2019, spring of 2019. So yes, it's partly because we are evolving, that's for sure, that's true. But it's not just because of that, it's because it's a requirement of our board to revisit our policies and go over them. And then the other thing, the part about to review the comprehensive set of governance policies that direct how they fulfill their fiduciary duty. The part that's left out, how they fulfill their policymaking and fiduciary duties. So we should add that part of our duties are fiduciary, a big, probably the more part in the way, but also our policymaking duties. To act in the best interest of the utility. The purpose of this review, this retreat, is to enhance the effectiveness of the board and build on a long history of collaboration as a governing body of Snohomish PUD. And I did have a question about that. I'm not aware of how we have been able to collaborate because we can't even talk to each other other than in a public meeting. So to me, I wondered, well, where does that come from? Long history of collaboration. I wish we could collaborate more. But do you have any thoughts or comments about that?
Well, I think we collaborate in all these meetings. I don't think we have to collaborate.
Okay, so that's
outside of our regular meetings, I think we have a lot of collaboration.
Okay, I just have a different, I guess, idea of what collaboration is. That it just, you know, what happens in the public. Anyway, for what it's worth, those are just my thoughts. Important as they may be.
I'm comfortable with what has been presented to us.
I'm really fine either way, it's changes the words.
Excuse me, it's not just words. There's a couple of main ideas left out.
I understand.
One is government policy, and one is that we have.
But I guess I'm not, are you proposing?
This is a slight revision.
Okay, I wasn't sure you were talking about it. You have actual words that you want to change?
Yeah, I do. I put it in my notes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll submit it to Melissa and or Allison. This is a draft, anyway.
Okay. The thing I would like us to add is I'd like us to have a conversation about how, you know, how we could, as a board, recommend nominating our general manager for Oasis. Our one employee, so know how that works, and if there's a process with the staff of the clerk's office and how we would go about that, if you would. I was thinking about, you know, he was just recently nominated for two awards, leading up with clients. So that's what I was thinking.
But that's a subset of many one of these
governance policy overview.
It could be a subset, it doesn't have to be. I guess it could be.
This has been done, I think it's been well done.
Okay.
But it's broad enough that the board can choose to, will have the ability to address some of those things.
Okay.
Commissioner Logan, we can take that and add it to our list for the final agenda.
Okay.
And
it's fine. I don't. It's not like I have support with that, so it's fine.
Okay.
I'll bring it up on other business when we get there.
Okay.
Thank you for your work on this, getting it figured out for us.
Actually, getting it from three different perspectives, probably in three different commissions, I thought results did well.
Yeah, I don't think that everybody knows that we all three submitted all of our top, medium, and low priority items, and you collated all of that somehow and put it together.
I'm sure it wasn't easy.
No, because we're not easy, right?
Well, that's our job.
Well, and I think having different perspectives is a positive thing.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
It's very healthy.
Okay, hearing no, is that the end of our Is this, I believe it is.
We have seven.
We need to vote to adopt that.
Oh, okay, hold on. Just a moment. D on page six, all right. What's the question? I thought I was being real clever in getting my pages separated so I could read them more easily. No, I got.
I tried that and it doesn't work. I get them all messed up.
As the secretary, would you read it?
We facilitated a discussion and I'll call for a motion.
I move to adopt the draft agenda for the board retreat scheduled for June 6, 2023.
I'll call for a vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no.
Aye.
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 Thank you. Okay.
Now we're moving on to agenda item seven, the governance email calendar.
Okay. I thought we had already done this. Are there any changes to the governance planning calendar?
Yeah, we need to add a meeting to go to Jackson.
Right, and I thought we, I put that under another part. Okay. Are there any other changes to the governance?
I have none.
I have none.
Okay. Is there any further business to come before the board?
Well, don't ask Scott because he'll just bring us some more bad news. Sorry about that, Scott.
I have none.
Hearing none, it is now 2:26 and the meeting is now adjourned.